Hello there, this is Christer Ekström in Sweden with another podcast, or as I often say, attempt to make a podcast. This one is about PGP, which stands for Pretty Good Privacy, and especially about OpenPGP, and even more especially about the system that I am using on my system, which is called GNU-PG. That stands for GNU Privacy Guard. The commercial, there are two PGP variations. The commercial one is on www.pgp.com, and there you have all kinds of packages for home and small and big businesses, and it seems they now come with a price tag. That is, there is no freeware version of those programs any longer. It used to be back when PGP was a pretty small program in terms of that there was no big company behind it backing it. So what I'm going to talk about now is the freeware version. There may be a freeware PGP version that I'm not aware of. I could always check that. But what I'm going to talk about now is the GNU Privacy Guard. What is this PGP thingy anyways, you wonder? Well, the concept behind PGP, or rather the idea, is that you have a key pair, a public key and a secret one. Your public key is used to encrypt, to sign, or do both. You can also decrypt and verify signed correspondence, mails, documents, what have you. And you share your public key with those with whom you want to correspond, either by using a public PGP server, key server. That's a bit risky because you don't know really what keys you get. You can get expired keys and so on, and revoked keys. If you lose your passphrase to your secret key, and I'll get to that soon. Passphrases and such. If you lose your passphrase, you can revoke your key pair or your public key, and people won't be able to use it. That's a way to sort of prevent people from tampering with your keys. So you can get keys from key servers, or you can ask for keys directly. And many mailers and many plugins for mailers offer a possibility to send your keys, your public key attached to a mail, and so on and so forth. So the exchanging of keys is pretty easy nowadays. I can remember a time when it wasn't that easy to exchange keys, but things get more and more less complicated, if you see what I mean. What can this thing be good for? Well, you could use it to sign all your correspondence, which for a person who has PGP, what they see, many people have seen this, so PGP gibberish at the beginnings and ends of emails. Says begin PGP signed message hash, and then some technical things, SHA-1 or RIPE MD60 or something. That's different hash algorithms. I won't go into that because I don't understand it myself. Embarrassed grin. Anyways. Where was I? What can it be used for? You could always use it to sign your mails. Yes, I was explaining how a person that has PGP can see how they can verify that the signature is from you. Because if I were to share my keys with a VCT list and people were to use it, they would have it imported in their keyring, and I come to keyrings when I go into more of an explanation about how to use GPG. And when a mail comes from me, I have signed the mail with my public key, which you also have. With your secret key, you can verify. And now I'm not quite sure that I'm on solid ground here, but as I understand it, you can verify that it is my key was being used for signing the letter or the mail or whatever. So what happens is there will pop up a dialogue saying, among other things, good signature from. And then it says who the signature is from, in your case, Christer Ekström, and my email address. You can also use the program if you're really, really paranoid and don't want anyone else but me to see what you are writing. You can use your PGP key pair to encrypt, scramble the message that you're writing. That means that to all else but to the one who the letter is intended for and whose key you're encrypting to, it will look like gibberish and non-readable text. But to the one who has the key, if you encrypt your letter to me, I will see the letter as it was meant to be seen from the beginning. Provided I remember my passphrase, of course, so that I can unlock the secret key that it's used to decrypt. The text message. The secret key, what's this then? I've talked about the public key. What's the secret key that I've been mentioning? Well, this is the key that you use in order to sign keys and letters, correspondence, and so on. And to decrypt, if you don't have the secret key, you can't really do anything useful with them. With the key, the PGP messages. This is a key that you don't want to spread around, because then people can take your key and sort of make believe that the letter comes from you, which it doesn't. So you don't want to lose the secret key. How do you know then that the key actually came from me? What if I gave you a PGP key, that public key that I said was from me, but it actually belonged to someone else, and I've tampered with this key? Well, if you really want to be paranoid, and if you really want to look into that thing, if you really are unsure about this, there's a way to ensure that the key you have really belongs to the one that said that this is my key. There is what's called a fingerprint, which is a series of hexadecimal numbers. I think it's 16, or I think it's 16, but I can be wrong there. Numbers. And what you can do in order to be really sure that this key really belongs to me is that you could, or another person, is that you can call or Skype or otherwise meet the person in question, read the fingerprint numbers, and then he or she could compare it with their key to see if the fingerprint is identical. If it is, then you can be very sure that the key belongs to whom they say it belongs to. And when you're really sure about this, you can sign that person's key with your own key. Signing a key means that you use your secret key and put your signature on the key that you've just verified. And then that puts a bit of trust into the whole business. And then other people can judge if this key can be trusted. And the more signatures, trusted signatures on the key, the more trusted the key is. That's basically how it works. And that's my understanding of how it works. I've never I've never delved so much into that web of trust thing, because it could be quite complicated and it could be very paranoid. The next best thing to this is to ask a person whom you know have PGP, ask that person to mail you their PGP keys, their PGP public key, so that you can import it into your own keyring. I think that's the next safest way to handle this, if you don't want to go through all the trouble with verifying fingerprints and try to Skype the person in question or phone them and have them read their fingerprint and so on.
Please.
I have mentioned the word passphrase a couple of times during this cast. And what's a passphrase then? Or what's it used for in this scenario or context? Well, the passphrase in PGP helps, of course, to strengthen the security of things. Without a passphrase, you can't unlock your secret key. When you generate a key pair, you will be asked for some details, name, email, address, and also a passphrase to be used, and also how strong you want the PGP key to be. You can have different strengths encryption. Everything from, I think it's 512 bits up to 1024 or even 4096 bits strength, which should make it less crackable, or so the wise people say. If you're interested in this, after this cast already, there are some places you could go to get more info about this. There is a very good mailing list called PGP Basics. I think they're on Yahoo Groups. So that would be pgp-basics-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Another way to do it, if you still read NNTP news, and if this group is around, there are lots of PGP related news groups on the web. alt.comp.pgp is one, comp.security.pgp is another one that pops to mind. Well, this was the theoretical side of the PGP stuff. What am I going to do next? Well, I'm going to demonstrate to you how to run my variation of PGP, which is called GNU Privacy Guard, GPG, and the program is a command line interface thing. It's available for Linux and for Windows, and I think it's available even for Mac OS. And you can find more information about that program at www.gnupg.org. That's www.gnupg.org. However, I'm using a front end to this program that's called GPG Shell, which is a very good front end in my opinion. And you can find this one at www.jumaros, that's J-U-M-A-R-O-S, .de/rsoft/index.html. And from that homepage, there's also a link to GPG itself. You want to make sure when after there's the graphical installation tool for the GPG, and I don't know if it places the program in the path variable of your system. If not, you want to be sure that it's there. How to do this is beyond the scope of this cast. I won't go into that in detail, but it can be done. There are some mailers that support GNUPG in various ways. Two of those mailers, one freeware and one not freeware, are the freeware one is Pegasus Mail. I can't remember off the top of my head the website for that one, but you could always Google for it. Pegasus Mail. It has a plugin that interfaces with GNUPG. The other one is a very advanced mailer that's called the BAT. And it's available from www.ritlabs.com. RITLABS.com. Much information now at the end of this podcast. I hope that you have, that you can sort of absorb it all. And in part two of this series, I will go into more of the practical side of things with the GPG and GPG shell interacting together. I will show you how to generate a key pair, what you can do with it, how you can read keys in a key ring, and so on. I can tell you by the way that the GPG shell is very accessible. It's very standard. It has always been so. It's very nice to work with for blind people. Most of the operations that you can perform, you can do from the shell. However, there are some editing commands for adding identities, more identities, more email addresses, and so on, that you have to go in and edit from the command line. And so if you decide to use GNU-PG, I recommend you take a look at the documentation for that program. This is Christer Ekström saying thanks for listening for this time, and I'll be back with a more practical demonstration. Thanks, and goodbye.